you like to sit as John comes to read our scripture for us.
The reading this morning is taken from Paul's letter to the Galatians, chapter 3, beginning to read at verse 23. And it's page 947 in the Pew Bibles. Now, before faith came, we were imprisoned and guarded under the law until faith would be revealed. Therefore, the law was our disciplinarian until Christ came, so that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer subject to a disciplinarian. For in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. As many of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to the promise. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, John. Jude, it's lovely to welcome you, and we look forward to hearing and seeing about your project.
I'll just start talking a bit about the service that we provide. I'm Jude. I'm one of the wellbeing practitioners at Fareham and Gosport Mind. I don't know if anybody, I can recognise a few faces here. My background is in nursing and counselling. And about 4.5 years ago, Hampshire County Council decided to change the kind of service that they provided in the community for people with mental health issues. And during that time, Fareham and Gosport Mind had to really get together with a bigger organisation to win the contract. Traditionally, we provided sort of lunch groups for people with long-term mental health issues, but we didn't really help them do anything about recovering or improving their well-being. So the whole ethos of well-being was about encouraging people to work with us to try and make some improvements in their lives, however small, towards a better well-being, a better life. And that's kind of where we started off. You can see from the picture, we are actually based in West Street in Fareham, so we're shopfront, which makes us very busy, but it makes us very accessible as well. You might move on to the next one, that'd be great. So we have various things that we do in our organisation, but part of the values of Solent Mind are our values. We're open, we work together with other people, we are responsive, independent, and we are unstoppable, and we work and fight really hard and believe in what we do. Some of the things that we do within the Wellbeing Centre, working with adults initially was how we started, and we work with people from 18 upwards. I think the eldest person that we've had in the service is 84, so we work with anyone with from any age, and we also help and support families as well. We have carers support too. We do some one-to-one work with people. We also do a lot of group work. But during that period, the last 3 years, we've really had a lot of requests and inquiries from families with children under the age of 18. And so part of the merger saw a pot of money that belonged to local people in Fareham Gosport area, which has been protected for our use locally. So several months ago, one of my colleagues put together a business plan to start to try and work with young people from the age of 14 up. I mean, we've had inquiries from people with children displaying sort of concerning mental health issues from the age of 7 years old, in fact. But we've now got a program working with young people between the age of 14 to 18. So once they're 18, they move across to our adult service. We also found that between the ages of 18 and 25, if we couldn't see people quickly, they dropped out of the service. So we try to respond to young adults as quickly as we can as well, to try and capture them in the service and help them as much as we can. But we can go to the next page, if that's okay. So I've said a little bit about what we do. I also do quite a lot of work trying to work with health visiting teams and Home Start locally for women with young children under the age of five, to try and help their mental well-being, therefore to try and improve the well-being of the children long-term. So we're trying to sort of work in all different stages. The things that we are focused on is recovery, and that doesn't mean we expect everyone to become really, really well, but the statistic of one in four people with a mental health issue is probably, you know, grossly underestimating the amount of mental health issues that people identify with. I think we have to try and imagine that our mind is functioning alongside our body and therefore deserves the same respect and care that our body does. So that instead of thinking about catching a mental illness, we think about our mental health as a continuum as we do our physical health, and that different things that cause stress and strain on our body are being reflected in our minds as well. So that we look at the term well-being as something that we look at in terms of how we are physically and mentally all of the time. Because most of us at some time in our life will have endured a period of quite severe stress or unhappiness. And that is something that we need to be mindful of and know how to look after when it comes up. So that's kind of how we work. We don't look at, you know, you have this, you have that. We look at, how are you doing? How do you cope? And how can we help you cope better? I could have the next slide, please. So the Upturn Young Persons Project was launched a few weeks ago. Already we've had something like 30 referrals in 3 weeks for the adult service we provide. I think we had 103 new referrals last month, and with a staff team of 7.5 whole-time equivalent, that's quite challenging. We also have a very small office in Gosport as well, to try and provide a more local service in Gosport. Pass the next one on, please. So what we're trying to do is provide some mental health awareness training. We're going to be doing one-to-one sessions in schools and colleges, running some drop-ins, and trying to set up some peer support groups. So people with lived experience, and young people with lived experience, helping each other through difficult times is our aim. Next one, please. So there's a little bit about the young person's journey there. Some of our partnership working is going to be with the child and adolescent mental health services, who've been really enthusiastic about what we're doing, so we can sort of transition young people out of the mental health services into a supportive, much more informal environment, and help them move on with their journey. And hopefully the outcomes will be that they will be able to cope a lot better with what they're struggling with. Okay. So we're going to be running workshops, and we do these also, this is reflected in the adult service we provide, self-esteem and confidence building, stress management, anxiety management, something called RAP, which is a plan, which is something that's kind of well known and well researched, that helps people sort of put a structured plan together to look after themselves. Something called the Decider Skills, which is what I teach, which is a skills-based program to help people actually use particular skills to cope with difficult and distressing mental health issues. And we also had relaxation, yoga, and art therapy we're hoping to provide as well. Next one, please. And we also do some focused work with people. So particularly self-esteem work's a big thing. Anger management, motivation, and anxiety are things that come up very frequently. I'd say virtually everybody who walks through the door suffers with some level of anxiety. Thank you. Yeah, 32 cases. This is this week. This has been updated. So we've had 32 cases since May. So you can see that that's an enormous amount of people for two members of, I think we've got a sort of 1.5 members of staff on that project at the moment. So being able to raise funds to, you know, increase staffing levels, and that is really important already, as you can see, that's a lot of work for just two people. Thank you. Has anybody got any questions they'd like to ask? There are lots of different charities locally that do different things. We're trying to work in partnership with a lot of other services. We do a lot of work with people with substance misuse, for example. We do partnership working with an organisation called Home Start that provides volunteers to go into families and support them. We don't do outreach work. We just can't physically get out the office, that's just so busy. But we will work in partnership in terms of referring and sort of collaborating and sort of signposting people to services we know that might be helpful as well. So
are there other organisations helping?
There are many. Those issues would be dealt with by the National Health Service. I think it varies. I know that locally the Child and Adolescent Mental Health Service try to be as responsive as possible, but they actually have had trouble recruiting. So, you know, that's also part of the difficulty for them as well. But they do, anything urgent, they do see immediately. But there is a waiting list. I'm not too sure how long their waiting list is at the moment. I think the other thing to say about our service, you don't need anybody to write you a referral letter. Anybody can walk in through the door during our drop-in times or telephone us and refer themselves. So you don't need an official referral letter from a doctor. But we do ask that if you want to access our service, that you have chatted to your doctor before you come along, because there are a few physical health complaints that can cause pressure on your mental health and cause mental health issues. So we always like someone to have spoken to their GP, because we don't have any medical backup in the centre, so we are, you know, entirely sort of self-supporting, really.
We can look out for that and in some way, you know, be aware of it and not just think that they're being naughty.
We can't work with children under the age of 14, so we would signpost any inquiries that we got by telephone or drop in back to their doctor. Then they would be referred to the Child and Adolescent Mental Health Services if they thought it was a mental health issue. There are quite a lot of children with behavioural issues, some of it sort of autistic spectrum disorder that's not yet diagnosed, because these things are so complex, and actually services don't want to label children too early. But there's a wide range of things that people you know, report to us, and you know, it's very difficult to say specifically what those are locally for us. We've had a few inquiries in that age group. The programme, the Decider programme that I teach, has been developed by two therapists in Guernsey. There's a large programme which runs over about 3 months, but there's also a short version of 12 skills that they would like to be used with children from the age of 9 up, and in a corporate level as well, to help people with life skills for coping better with stress. And it's a really, really good programme, and sort of the data that I collect from mine is showing sort of some significant improvements with anxiety and depression. So there are some things coming up, but it's kind of getting money to get people trained to teach it and, you know, and to spread the word, really. But I think there's lots of pressures in life now that perhaps were different in terms of, you know, family support and work and things now that, you know, are a real challenge for everybody. Sorry? Yes, we do. Yeah, we do use volunteers, yeah. Well, we are looking at the moment, starting a peer support programme, so people will be trained to support people through their own lived experience. But we have a lady now works and helps out on our reception who came as a volunteer to us. So things like that, and volunteers to go into groups sometimes. For the Young Persons Project specifically, at the moment, they've got things like part of the business plan was sort of some technology and stuff, but the way things are going, it's probably going to be needed for actually increasing some staff hours as well, so we can actually get enough people into schools. I think what we're hoping to do also is to make a small charge to schools and colleges for offering the service, because they would have to buy that in anyway to try and keep the project going. So it would also be to put on some activities as well, because obviously we've got the wellbeing service as it is, but also sort of expanding perhaps more adventurous activities, more challenging things for young people to do, things that they might find easier to engage in rather than just sitting around in groups. So I think the plans would be for them to do some sort of outside things that they would benefit from as well. So. Well, we are actually very protective of how we look after each other. We actually have, on a Wednesday, we have our entire morning, we have a staff meeting, but we have the office is closed for us to do our supervision, for us to chat to each other, to relax. Then every couple of months we have a staff wellbeing day, so at the end of this month we'll do something together. I think this time someone come up with a great idea that we're all going to do yoga, and we'll have a barbecue and we'll just have that time to chat through anything that we're finding difficult. So we said from the very beginning that if we don't look after ourselves, we can't really do our job. So we do protect that time. Anything else?
Are you going to stay and have coffee with us?
I can do, yeah, for a short while, yes.
So you might have another chance to talk to Jude afterwards, but thank you for your questions, and thank you, Jude, for
that.
It's wonderful to know that people are doing this work.
Thank you.
And lovely to meet you. Thank you. Okay.